How many of you look to God's Word for words of encouragement? How many of you look to God's Word for advice? How many of you read God's Word? Don't raise your hand. I'm glad you read God's Word. And it's so important. There's so many promises in God's Word, isn't there? And that's what we're going to talk about today. But in preparation for that, I thought I'd read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Why? "So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these words. And I pray, Lord, as we celebrate you today, that everything we do will be pleasing to you. And Lord, as we celebrate believers' baptism, Lord, those who have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, and you made you Lord of their life, coming here and as a witness of your love to them, Lord, I pray that you'll work in their lives, and I pray that we'll be able to celebrate with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 4. We've been kind of working our way through Romans, and so it's we're gonna look at again at Abraham's life just for a little bit today. Starting with verse 18, Romans 4:18. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded," listen to this, "being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words 'it was credited to him' were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." I have a story I'd like to read to you. It's from my Nelson illustration book, and it's called The Handwriting of God. It says, missionaries Dick and Margaret Hill found themselves caught in China during the Japanese invasion. The couple lived with their two children in the inland town of Senki. Now, is there anybody from China here? Good. I don't know if I pronounced it right. It doesn't matter. It's a town in China. The village was tense with fear and every day fought terrifying reports of the Japanese advance. At the worst possible time, Dick developed appendicitis, and he knew his life depended on making the long journey by rickshaw to the hospital. On January 15, 1941, with deep foreboding, Margaret watched him leave. Soon the Chinese colonel came with news. The enemy was near town, and town people must evacuate. Margaret shivered, knowing that one-year-old Johnny and two-year-old Margaret Ann would never survive as refugees. So she stayed put. Early next morning, she tore the page from the wall calendar and read the New Day scriptures. It was Psalm 56:3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." The town emptied during the day. The next morning, Margaret arose, feeling abandoned. The new verse on the calendar was Psalm 9:10. "Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." The next morning, she arose to a distant sound of gunfire and worried about food for her children. The calendar verse was Genesis 50, verse 21. "I will nourish you and your little ones." An old woman suddenly popped into the pail, in with a pail of steaming goat's milk, and another straggler arrived with a basket of eggs. Through the day, sounds of warfare grew louder, And during the night, Margaret prayed for deliverance. The next morning, she tore the page for the calendar to read Psalm 56:9. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. The battle was looming closer, and Margaret didn't go to bed that night. Invasion seemed imminent. But the next morning, all was quiet. Suddenly, villagers began returning to their homes, and a colonel knocked on her door. For some reason, he told her, the Japanese had withdrawn their troops. No one could understand it, but the danger had passed, and they were safe. Margaret glanced at her calendar and felt that she had been reading the handwriting of God. What a great story. I hope that you are looking to God's word for your strength. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this message. Lord, direct from your word. I pray that you'll encourage us to look to you. In the power of Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've looked an awful lot about Abraham's life. And Abraham was a man of God and a man that God said to him, he gave him a promise that you will be the father of nations. And it was because of his faithfulness to God that he became the father of nations. And as we go through some different texts today, I read for you the text that we're in Romans, but we're going to deviate from that and we're going to talk about God's promises today. And there are many. We're only going to talk about just a few. And so as we talk about the promises, maybe you can look into your own heart and your own mind. Do I trust in the promises of God for everyday needs? I guess maybe more importantly, so many times when I'm preaching, I give glory to like Abraham or to David or to whoever. But I want you to know today that our hero is God. And so as we talk about Abraham and his faith, the real hero here is God himself. And so as we talk about some of these things, about God's promises in our lives, I want to encourage you to live for him and to live according to his principles. So let's look at some of the promises that I found in Scripture that I felt like would be good for us to know. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Do you look to your own abilities when you're struggling through life? I do. I look to the things that I can do or the things that I'm used to doing. But God says here in 2 Peter, his divine power has given us everything we need for what? A godly life. We need to look into his word and collect these promises so that we can live godly lives. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not give harm to you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I've heard so many people tell me that if you are experiencing financial difficulty, that you're not living a godly life. That is so far from the truth. In fact, it's through the financial difficult things that we learn to lean on God. If I were to ask you, how many of you have had financial difficulties, I think every hand would go up. I think every hand would go up. And God wants us to trust in him. So what's this talking about? The plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has so much for us besides financial gain. And that's not what this verse is talking about. God has so much peace and joy and hope. If we only trust him. Matthew 11:28-29, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, a promise for the weary and troubled. I love your pulse this week. Here's a young man that's learning to trust in him. What was the last post that I read? Was that yesterday or the day before? I love God. I love God. Why? Because he's experienced him. Have you experienced God's word? Have you seen God's word come alive in your life? I hope so. One of my favorite texts, and this is a text that I quite often will share with someone who I'm doing a funeral for, with the family, Isaiah 40, verse 29 through 31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But listen to verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. Justin Nelson was here for the funeral. He walked in my office. He said, I never realized this before. And he's been in my office several times. We've had coffee together. And he said, I never realized that you loved eagles. Eagles are powerful. They got a 5 or a 6 foot wingspan. Did you know that? You don't really see them when they're up there just swooping around. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. I got to share a story that I was just thinking of. I had the opportunity to be in a federal court jury. And it was cool. A waste of time, but it was really cool. This guy supposedly had shot an American eagle, which is against the law. And the story was he shot the eagle, threw it in the back of his pickup, drove to the bar, talked to his friends, hey, look what I did. And then on his way home, he stopped and threw it in the ditch. About 2 months later, one of his friends got mad at him and called the feds and said, this guy shot this eagle. They went and found the bird, but he was so decomposed they had to prove that it was even an American eagle. And then they had to prove that he shot him. So it was kind of a waste of time, but I thought, as much as I like eagles, that I had a chance to sit down in that jury. It was incredible. It was fun. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Here again, it's not talking about necessarily financial needs. So many times we make a decision. I make a decision to go this way or to buy that or whatever, and it's a wrong decision. How many of you ever made a wrong business decision? And then we expect God to fix all the pieces. But God says that he will meet all our needs according to his riches. His riches. We need to trust in him in our struggles, in the midst of our struggles. And one of my favorite texts, Philippians 4:4-8, if you've been in this congregation for any amount of time, you know that this is one of my favorite texts. And the reason is because so many of us worry. I worry about things. We worry about things, don't we? And we like to do things on our own. Listen to what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with grumbling, present your request to God. Who's laughing? That's not what it says, does it? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the promise is, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this text. If I'm scheduled to speak at the long-term care, and I don't know what I'm going to talk about, I'll talk on that. Because if you go to the doctor and you get the bad news, you got cancer, what do you do? What do you do at night when you lay your head on the pillow? Huh? Cry. And you constantly think about all the things you could have done or the things you should have done, or and you think about your family and all, and your mind is going and going. Am I the only one that does this? God says that if you give Him all your petitions and prayers with thanksgiving, and the promise is the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that simply means that we just don't understand that peace. Because you could be in the worst trial of your life and have all the peace in the world. And the peace is centered in your mind and your heart. It's exactly where we need it. God knows what He's doing. John 14:27. Another promise. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What's the promise? I will give you peace. Another promise of peace. I know this is touching some lives because I've talked with a lot of you. You all need God's peace. Romans 8:37-39. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither the height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that will separate you from God's love. There is no accident. I'm looking at two people right. There is no accident that will separate you from God's love. Nothing can separate you from God. Loved us so much that He came down and died on the cross for us. In fact, 1 John 3:16 says, This is how we know what love is. That God came and died for us, and spilt His blood. Proverbs 1:33. But whoever listens to me will live in safely and be at ease without fear of harm. Whoever listens to me. How does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? Through His Word. Are you reading God's Word? But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But what's the promise? But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's probably the best promise ever, isn't it? Because all of us are condemned to death. That's our penalty. That's our payment for sin. And then Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a great promise. It's a great promise. I hope that you trust in God. I hope that you put your faith in His promises. I hope that when you go through difficult trials and tribulations, that you'll look to Him and not on your own ability. Amen.